Sweetie, time to take your medicine.
Ugh, gross, no.
Oh, dear. There is a better way.
Really?
Really. Go from yuck to yum with free medicine flavoring from Kenny Drugs.
Sweetie, time to take your medicine. It's cherry.
Yummy.
Yes, free flavoring makes the medicine go down. Tons of flavor combos at Kenny Drugs. Free for a limited time. Check it out at KennyDrugs.com.
Yum!
This is Smarter Collaboration, the series about incredible people working together to achieve breakthrough results. Our host, Dr. Heidi Gardner and Ivan Matviak, lead into their combined experiences, including teaching at Harvard Business and Harvard Law Schools, authoring best-selling books on collaboration, and leading teams across financial services and consumer goods sectors to help you become a master of collaboration. On today's show, you will learn that it is never enough to bring people together with expertise. They must also be empowered to share perspectives, leading to new and breakthrough ideas. Now here's Heidi and Ivan with today's guest, two veteran Disney Imagineers. Enjoy.
Our guests today are Ryan Harmon and Joe Lanzicero, both former Disney Imagineers who continue to design immersive theme parks, innovative attractions, and bespoke experiences as collaborators at Zeitgeist Design and Production. At Zeitgeist, Ryan and Joe look to local and pop culture, art, fashion, music, literature, architecture, history, trends, and human nature for inspiration, transforming brands, films, TV shows, legends, and mythologies into engaging experiences their clients never envisioned. Their collaborations are built on multi-decade relationships with some of the industry's most accomplished master planners, architects, illustrators, writers, technical directors, project managers, creative directors, and producers. That's a lot of collaboration. Ryan and Joe, it's great to talk to two fellow Disney alums, especially two Imagineers. I'm a little bit in awe, I have to be honest, but welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks. And welcome. We're going to start with some of the tough stuff. Let's ask for an example of a particularly challenging project where collaboration played a crucial role in overcoming obstacles or helping you be super innovative.
I'll jump in first. We've had a couple that Ryan and I've worked on together here at Zeitgeist, but I think looking back on my 40 plus years at Disney and all the projects I did there, without a doubt, the most challenging were the cruise ships, because it was, we were trying to maintain the Disney brand and infuse the Disney brand into the cruise ships. Disney kind of created the family cruise market. Prior to Disney getting into the market, there really was no family cruise available. So our challenge, there were many challenges. The challenge was, translating the brand into a cruise experience. And that was the easy and fun part. How do we, get the characters, the stories? We did a lot of innovations in terms of how we created, we called it a purpose-built ship because we knew our audience very well. It was family audience. We had to do stuff for mom, dad, the kids, grandma and grandpa, because often we had multi-generational groups there. So that was the easy part. The tough part, and it was new to me because my experience prior to working on the cruise ship was all on the in the theme parks. And and there you had a lot more flexibility in terms of the things you could do. But it was still the same in terms of massive amounts of collaboration between all kinds of disciplines. And on the cruise ship, it was a lot of technical disciplines. And you had a lot of parameters that were set forth by the Coast Guard, by the nautical engineers, all these kind of, well, you can only do this in this size with this many, like wood. You could only use so much wood on every deck because of fire hazard. Fire was a big deal. So it took a lot of collaboration. So our biggest challenge, and I'm sure both Ryan and I will talk about this through the course of this discussion today, is maintaining the core idea and maintaining the integrity of the story in everything we do. So there, there are so many hands that touch these things that you really have to learn that, first off, understand the limitations and be willing to give up stuff. It's all about compromise. You have to compromise a lot along the way, but always knowing where to draw that line in the sand when it's going to cut into the guest experience or in some way limit the storytelling that you're trying to get across and the emotional connection that you're trying to make with the guests.
And so, Joe, sorry to interrupt, but I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, there's these regulators, they've got safety standards, they have really clear parameters for why they're doing what they're doing. How do you convince them using words like guest experience and emotion and story that your point of view is just as legit as theirs is?
I think you always have to welcome them into the process. It's always about, I think with great collaboration, it's about acknowledging what everybody brings to the table. Sitting down with them and letting them know that I understand what you're telling me is super important, that we don't want people to die. We want to create a safe experience for people. We want to be able to integrate all these systems in a way that everything's going to work. So by acknowledging what they're doing, but also making them understand as well the importance of the brand, and that ultimately people are going to come back and to this experience time and time again if we've touched them deeply emotionally, if we've created a rich experience, if we've exceeded their expectations. So when everybody sits around the table and understands what everybody else is doing and understands that, and then tries, then we always try to make sure everybody has the same goal, and that goal is a great experience for the guests. And you know what your piece of it is, it's going to help deliver that, because part of that great experience is making sure the guests are safe and that everything is going to work properly. And our goal is to make sure it's going to be the most entertaining, involving, engaging experience possible. So when everybody gets together and we all agree, we're good.
Ryan, the complexity of that is almost unfathomable to me. When you're trying to, I would imagine the cruise ships want to have an overarching and cohesive theme and feel. When you've got that many people collaborating together, how do you make sure you end up with something that's cohesive and not 20 different people's visions of what the end could be?
That's the million-dollar question. What Joe focused on, I think, was the collaboration of executing a project. If we go back from there, you've got two other very important collaborations. One is us and our clients, right? The clients have retained us. They have a vision. They have a checkbook and a budget. And we have to figure out how we can create something that we, are proud of and that we believe is going to be successful for them, within the time frame and the budget they want to spend and whatnot. And then there's the collaboration of us as a creative team working together with our big family of friends and all these amazing people to execute the design before we even get to actually building something. And I would say, to answer your question, it's different all the time. The clients are so different. We work a lot with a Chinese company, and they are, like most Chinese companies, there's one chairman, and the chairman decides what it is going to be and what is going to happen, and he changes his mind a lot. Often by the day. And, we want to please him. We want to help him succeed. We want to make sure millions of people come to his parks and resorts and have an amazing time and create wonderful memories with their friends and family. But it's very difficult for us because the proverbial goalposts keep moving. And we work so hard on today, when we present it tomorrow, it's like, that's great, but today we want to work on this.
I can only imagine when those goalposts are shifting, that's really hard to keep everybody marching to the same beat.
Yeah.
But I'm really, I'm curious, the design process that you mentioned, so many people, who aren't necessarily in the creative industries imagine there's this like eureka moment, right? Like, you know, aha, and the light bulb goes on. But there's probably a lot of iteration involved as well. Like, where do you bring collaboration in? How much is too much? When do you put on the brakes?
Well, what's wonderful with Joe and I is I was born a writer, and I've been playing with words and ideas literally since I, you know, was 4 or 5 years old. And Joe, likewise, was born an artist, and he's been drawing since he was a kid. And so we have this wonderful dichotomy of, you know, capabilities here where we both think the same, and we have very similar backgrounds and tastes, and we can brainstorm incredibly well together. And then I can go off and do an outline or do research and write it up. And I really think about story and logic. And Joe thinks more visually. So Joe is looking at, you know, references from movies or out in the world, and he sketches it and draws it. And what's the shape and what's the size and what's the color and what's the texture? And, you know, so by working together, and then obviously we bring in someone to help planet, what does it look like on the ground, or architecturally, what does it look like? How's it going to work? But we have this wonderful symmetry here where we can work together on different aspects of the same thing. And you know, you get to a point, I think, where I don't know if there's a eureka moment. I think we've been doing this long enough now that we have an intuition and we know when something's good, but that does not mean the client is going to get it, which is going back to what I'm saying. So, go ahead, Joe.
I think adding to that, Ryan, I think there's little eureka moments, you know, all along as you're, because it's an organic process. You know, you have an idea, and you start playing with that idea. Ryan throws out, oh, what if we do a giant red dog with, you know, three blah, blah, blahs, and then, you know, then I'll add to that. And this was also true at Disney. I think those first kind of formative meetings where you're brainstorming, that's what they call them. They're blue sky brainstorm meetings. And, but then, well, you know, once you've played and you've got all those ideas, I think both at Disney and currently now working with clients, as Ryan mentions, our big Chinese client, then you have to put together something that is going to communicate the idea in a way that everybody is going to be able to rally around it. We do renderings, we do scripting. I'm a big believer in models. Because even CG models, you're only looking at a computer-generated model. You're only able to see one or two views at a time. But there's nothing like a physical model that you can put in the middle of the table, and everybody's looking at the same thing, and there's no doubt that, oh, it's going to be green here and yellow there, and there's going to be this corridor that goes over there. And so it eliminates a lot of the questions. And I think the sooner you can eliminate questions and get to answers where people all, again, it's all about this collective, everybody collectively agreeing on what we're going to do. And all those tools I mentioned are important: scripting, model, the renderings, the plans. But there's something about a physical model, you know, and now, you know, we have AR, you know, and VR, that, you know, allows you to enter into spaces too. And those are very important as well. So I think you have to consider all those tools, but in the end, you got to get to a point where you can sit around the table with either the Disney executives or the chairman from the Chinese company, and everybody looks at something and agrees, yeah, that's the thing we're all going to try to do and make a reality.
You know, eventually, or ultimately, oftentimes when you have a large group of people collaborating, you have some conflicting points of view that you need to work through. I would imagine when you're working with large groups of people, or maybe a strong chairman at a client, you might have an impasse that you have to work through. Be curious if you have an example of, you know, where you had some conflicting ideas or visions that you guys had to try to overcome.
I think in recent experience, Joe and I are always almost on the same page. It's really just like you mentioned, sometimes the clients don't get it. One of our clients is overly concerned with safety, for example, So we pitched this roller coaster that was going to be on a mountainside. And we had this idea of putting little LED lights all over the hillside. So it was a space theme. So the idea being at night, the ground would look like stars in a, you know, in a galaxy. And literally the client said, well, that's going to be too dangerous, you know, and this might happen and this might happen. And we just look at each other and we're like, what? But what do you do? You know, and we've had similar things like that. We designed an observation tower. They were concerned about the wind. Like, do you not have engineers and construction people who know how to build things that can stay there in the wind?
Yeah. So what did you do with the lights?
Yeah. The project hasn't happened yet. But we take them out, you know. Unfortunately, whoever writes the check gets to decide when the dispute, you know, is with the client.
Yeah.
But internally, I think, you know, we usually get along. And it's interesting, I didn't realize until I started working at Disney that there are different personality types. And we would all be thrown into these brainstorming meetings. And if you're the loud person who likes to pick up, your ideas seem to be taken more, you know, and everybody talks about them or you're listened to a little bit more. I found myself early on to being more the quiet person. As a writer, I like to sit in a dark, cold room with my computer and dream things up and reference things. And I then hand that document to people and that's my input. But I used to find it really hard to sit in a brainstorming meeting because, you know, other people overpower you.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we study all the time is how to get those people who have really different styles and preferences, not to handicap themselves by trying to be something else, but by actually leaning into who they are and making the whole thing better because they're so different from each other. But I'm going to pick up on something that you said, which rings a couple of alarm bells for me, because you said the two of you almost always see eye to eye now. Like, does that worry you? Because when I hear people say, oh, yeah, we always get along, I'm thinking, where's that creative, you know, friction that you expect to have?
Oh, let me say, we have quite a few moments of creative friction.
Yeah.
The bottom line is we both understand we're you know, we've worked together long enough. I mean, not just the time we spent at Zeitgeist now, but, you know, even in the past. So we know each other really well. Ryan knows I'm overpassionate. I know Ryan can be stubborn about things. So we understand each other's personalities, but we also understand where we're coming from. We both always want the best for the client.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, looking back on my time at Disney and now, I think as, you know, as team leaders or creative leaders, you really need to understand all the players and what they bring to the table. And you know, because Ryan and I work so closely together, we have a shorthand. We know each other very well. Not always the case with other team members. So I think if you're a good creative leader, you need to take the time to understand the people you work with. Ryan and I have a kind of a handful of people that we are go-to people for that very reason. We know them well enough, both in terms of their technical capabilities, but also their personalities. And a lot of it is about casting, you know, understand when you understand who they are and what they bring to the table, then we know, oh, this job needs a little more of a kind of a cartoony feel. And we go, oh, you know, there's Todd. Todd likes to do the cartoony stuff. Oh, now we need this more of a technical approach to this. Oh, well, there's Leo because Leo is really good with CG rendering and we'll use him for that particular thing. And even back at Disney, you know, I always wanted to take the time to, you know, try to understand and then let people know that you understand what they bring to the table and tell them that, you know, your piece of this. I don't want to ramble on too long, but I often use, and I've given talks about the analogy of an orchestra and a conductor. Ryan and I are the conductors.
Yeah.
The score, the musical score, is the script, the model, all those things. And then the orchestra are all those people that are going to be working on it. But a good conductor lets everybody in the orchestra know why their piece is so important. Even if it's the guy back there with the triangle, that every 16 bars is only going to hit that triangle once, you need to let him know that triangle is just as important as that first chair violinist who's doing a solo through it. So
yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Once everybody understands their place in the process, and if we're doing our job well, we're going to let them know that their piece, no matter what it is important or how it fits into the greater whole.
The analogy of an orchestra is really powerful, right? And really getting all of the pieces to play together in harmony. And Joe, I love a term you used, which reminds me of my days at Disney, casting, right? You really are casting people into their roles. I wonder whether as you've cast people into roles and the orchestra has been playing, has there been a moment where there was something really unexpected, where someone played in a different way or brought an idea that was really out of the box or novel? Well, you're working with so many creative people. I would imagine, people are coming to the table all the time with really interesting ideas.
Yeah, but sometimes that happens in a negative way. We think we've cast the right person and they're working and it appears that they just don't get it, or they're way out in left field, or they have their own ideas and don't necessarily want to follow the direction, as a conductor that we tell them to play now and they don't want to play now, or they play, the wrong note or whatever. So it's really hard. Sometimes we do have to remove people from that orchestra and replace them with another player.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a super tough call as a leader, right? That's a super tough call. I think the flip side of that, touching on something you mentioned earlier, is not just making sure people know their role, but knowing when to rest. Like the triangle player can't just ding-a-ling-a-ling the whole time, right? It's once every 16 bars. And one of the problems, like the trap that we find people falling into, is over-collaboration. Like, hey, if a team's good, let's just throw a team at everything. So as a leader, how do you know when to pull back and not collaborate?
Well, I think, especially for Ryan and I now, I am not a business guy. Thank God for Ryan, because he's very good with numbers. He's very good with negotiating, but I think way different than when I was at Disney. And okay, yeah, we can try this. We can do that. When you have your own business, especially a small business, you have to be very, very cognizant of, what you promised, how much you were going to deliver, how much you're going to spend, and so that it takes, I think, a little more discipline. I've found, working in outside of Disney, where of course they have all kinds of capital, very deep pockets, and they can do with whatever. I don't know if I answered your question, did I?
Well, how do you know
when to pull back? Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's, again, going back to just thought about the personalities, we've had people where we put in the team and they just, there was one example, I don't want to name names, but he just decided to completely rewrite the script himself so that, his vision can be seen. And we didn't ask for that. We didn't pay for that. We didn't want that. And suddenly we get this, what if we do this instead? And it's like, no. I mean, I don't know what to do. That wasn't collaboration. That's really somebody going off and doing it themselves, versus being part of the team and saying, bringing these things up versus attempting to shove it down our throats with their own, revision of everything.
So, you guys work together. Oh, sorry, Joe, go ahead.
No, no, I was going to go back to something you asked a moment ago, because it works into this current conversation here about, letting the where are those moments of surprise, that comes along. And I think you always try to keep your mind open to, in fact, at Disney, they called it Walt. This goes all the way back to Walt. They always said, you want to try to plus whatever the person before you or working with you is done. And plussing wasn't necessarily changing something. Plussing was trying to make it bigger, better, adding a little something to it. It's kind of a hard concept, because people do tend to want to add or change. And plussing is different than adding or changing. Like Ryan was just talking about this one gentleman. I remember that experience well. You know, we got a whole different script idea. But sometimes, you know, maybe they might just take the script in a little different direction or add another character, those kinds of things. And I think if you're open-minded about the process, but also understanding, you know, what the end goal is again and how much money we have to spend, how much time we've got, what the schedule's saying, then you can, then with all that understanding in your head, you can make the decision at that point. Okay, yeah, we can afford to add that little thing and that will make it better. Or make the hard decision to have to tell them no, or in some cases completely, you know, go in a different direction and have to say goodbye to somebody.
Mm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And in what you've been talking about, it's more the creative side of things. But remember, there was Walt Disney and there was Roy Disney, and they were really right brain, left brain. And even though we're primarily a creative team, we do need to deal with the budget, the schedule, you know, that sort of thing as well. And so that in itself, and even operations, those are additional collaborations where we might have the coolest, best ideas in the world, but we can't afford it, or there's not enough time to do it, or it's dangerous, or it doesn't, you know, fit the codes, or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, everything's a negotiation. You know, sure. To try, we're always fighting for what makes the guest experience, what's going to make it viral and memorable and touch your heart and make you want to come back again and again. But we're often fighting with, like I said, budget schedules and operation people.
The reality of the project, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, you've been working together a long time. You can see you know each other well. You have a lot of trust between the two of you. But one of the hardest times for collaborating is project kickoffs, where you're bringing people together who don't necessarily know each other, right? They don't know their styles, their skills, what perspectives they're coming to the table with. You guys do a lot of projects. Do you have some thoughts on sort of best practices or what's worked for you in terms of how do you launch a project well when you're working with new and different people?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we do have, you know, kind of our core group of to go to people that that we really we know their capabilities and we can cast them properly up front. Often, sometimes we'll take a chance on new people. You know, our office director, our studio manager Becky, who kind of keeps Ryan and I in check, and is also good about keeping a good Rolodex of people. And we'll try new people. You have to know when to try them. If it's a tight schedule, a tight budget, you have to reach out to those people. You know they're going to deliver. But there are those occasions where, okay, we're going to try this new person, and especially, you know, Ryan and I believe in mentoring. You know, I'm older than Ryan, and I'm getting to this point where you know, I want to pass on, you know, knowledge as well. And both Ryan and I have a lot of knowledge to pass on, just because we've been doing it a long time. Not that we're all that more brilliant than anyone else. You just, in some ways, we are, but but we also just learned a lot along the way. And it's good to bring younger people in. And in some ways, you know, they bring in different, especially with technology. And they're so also savvy with social media and a lot of the things that I'm not necessarily up on. So they bring that to the project. So it's, we want to be able to bring that fresh kind of thinking and that, and give people a chance, but you just have to know when to do it.
Yeah. Makes total sense. I think it's also about communication. Anytime we kick off a project or we sit down with the team, I try to start from the very beginning. We say, okay, there's a site in Paraguay. It's an island. It's next to a big city. So they start to form these ideas in their head. The client wants a theme park, a casino, a resort hotel, you know, This is what they want. We were thinking it might be like this theme or this story or whatever. So you try to build it so we all get on the same page and we all understand what the mission is. We've got 3 weeks. We've got, you know, this. Let's go. And everybody kind of knows what to do. So
that I think is so exciting. I think there are a lot of people probably listening right now saying, I want their job. So I'm going to ask, it's totally unfair. Because I know, you know, as a parent, I'm not supposed to say I have one favorite kid over another. But when you think back to your Disney time, do you have a favorite character?
A character?
Character.
That's interesting. Well, I I like Peter Pan because everybody wants to fly. But besides fly, I mean, he was the boy that never grew up, you know. And I think in some ways to, you know, to do what we do, you got to have kind of a childlike wonderment, you know, a view of the world. You got to see the world through, you know, kind of fresh, kind of pure eyes. And so for me, you know, Peter Pan kind of represents that. It's kind of a tough question.
Not actually
so many options.
I was going to say the same thing, but for me, Peter Pan, I love, because I'm a kid, you know, just because my body's getting older. I have not necessarily grown up. I still think silly things are funny. I went to Disneyland for my birthday 2 days ago. I do that every year with my kids. And there's just something I love about being, you know, I haven't changed that much since I was a kid, for good or for bad.
As Heidi knows, as part of the management training at Disney, I got to be one of the characters in the park in Los Angeles, and I was one of the country bears. And I was worried none of the kids were going to want to come up to me because I was a big, scary country bear. I got more hugs that day than I think in any other day of my life. It was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so it's funny that Joe and I have the same one because that character and that story – from where it was set to, you know, the places he goes to the fact that he never grows up. It's just a lot about how I am too. And by the way, Joe and I were born 3 days apart, and many of the people we work with, including Tom Morris, who has the same birthday as Joe, a lot of people were born within 1 or 2 weeks of each other.
Huh.
So it's very strange. Aquarius.
Very strange cosmic kind of connection there. Yes.
Yeah.
So I know we are almost out of time. Ivan, do you want to squeeze in one more question?
Yeah, I just love to, you know, if you were giving advice to aspiring creative professionals, what advice would you give them about building a successful collaboration like you two have?
Trust the process. And first understanding that it is a process, especially in the realm of designing these, you know, themed environments, theme parks, all the stuff that we do. I think a lot of what we've talked today maybe paints a picture of rigidity, but it's understanding that it is flexible too. And that the process, especially when I mentioned this earlier, it's a little organic, you know, you have to kind of map it out. You got to know I'm going to go from, you know, point A to point B, but be open that you may make a little detour along the way. And that little detour may either bring a new idea or something you hadn't thought about, or make you rethink something and either go back to where you started from, or helps you to launch forward and do something better. So I would say, trust the process, be flexible, but also honor where you need to ultimately end up.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a fun conversation. And we'll be thinking about you and Peter Pan now.
We fly off to Neverland.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you, Joe.
And please, we encourage everybody to check out Joe and I co-host the Spirit of the Time Zoomcast, where we interview other industry icons. We have 31 so far, so it's an amazing opportunity to understand the history and wisdom of our industry. So if anybody's
tell us the name of it again.
It's called The Spirit of the Time Zoomcast. It's on our website. It's on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Fantastic. That goes in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan.
Alrighty. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ryan. Really that was fun. Outstanding.
Thank you for having us. Sure. Thank
that
you,
was
thank
fun. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you.
So at the end of every one of these programs, we try to wrap up with a summary of some of the highlights and the Smarter Collaboration takeaways. So Ivan and I are bringing to you our thoughts right now about just a few of those. I'm going to kick off with this idea of multidisciplinary teams. I mean, that's at the heart of Smarter Collaboration, is bringing people together who have a range of diverse skills. And Imagineering, they were telling us, involves art and design and engineering and storytelling and more. I mean, you have the two of them. You have an artist as somebody who's really visual, and you have somebody who is, as he said, has been playing with words since the time he's 4 or 5. Those two come together, and then they need to work with, as they talked about, the business side of the house to make sure that their wild dreams actually get executed according to a business plan and budget and so forth. And then they also have to bring in the sort of, you know, tough side to help them stay on track with regulations and making sure everything's up to code and that it can actually get executed in a safe way. And some of those sound more fun than others, but at the end of the day, if they didn't have every one of those different perspectives, they wouldn't be able to bring those grand ideas to fruition. And that's just the heart of Smarter Collaboration. I loved listening to that.
Absolutely. I loved when Joe and Ryan talked about casting. As a former Disney executive, you know, we all called ourselves cast members. And it just, it's so evocative when you talk about and think about casting a team, right? Really putting the right people in the right roles. He also used sort of an orchestra analogy, right? Of getting everybody to play their roles in harmony and really bring out the best and make sure people know, even if they have a small contribution, how important that can be to the overall success of the group. I love that.
Absolutely. So casting is one of those great Disney words, and so is plussing. And he talked about way back.
And Walt, you know, Disney, right?
Going back to Walt himself, is the, you know, the idea of plussing, building on other people's ideas. And it's kind of the improv idea of yes and. It's building on what somebody did. It's not completely chucking it away and doing, you know, coming back with your own grand idea. It's adding something special. It is making it better in some ways. It's everyone has that role to play, and you're always focused on improving and something more innovative and just adding that extra special touch. I love that idea of plussing.
Absolutely. That was a fun conversation. So thanks again to our guests, Ryan Harmon and Joe Lanzicero, and join us next time on Smarter Collaboration. And remember, you may be able to run faster by yourself, but you can run farther with others.
Thanks for joining us on today's Smarter Collaboration program. This series was created in collaboration with Success Made to Last Media in Austin, Texas. Executive producer was Rick Tokini. Sound design and post-production were led by Heather Barnes and Carla Tokini. Today's show was co-written by Ivan Matviak, Dr. Heidi Gardner, and Christine Dunn. Operations manager is Marie Ross. This series can be heard on Gardner & Co., .co, along with successmadetolast.com, and everywhere podcasts are heard. And remember, you too can break through with Smarter Collaboration.
Sweetie, time to take your medicine.
Gross, no.
Oh dear, there is a better way.
Really?
Really. Go from yuck to yum with free medicine flavoring from Kenny Drugs.
Sweetie, time to take your medicine. It's cherry.
Yummy.
Yes, free flavoring makes the medicine go down. Tons of flavor combos at Kenny Drugs. Free for a limited time. Check it out at KennyDrugs.com.
Yum!